Well, welcome back to the conversation. I'm Janine Mason, the wife of Andy Mason. Today I want to talk to you about hearing the voice of God. In 2008, Andy and I and our four kids were living in New Zealand, and we honestly thought we'd be living there forever. There was no thought in our mind really of leaving that place. And Andy came back from a mission trip to Uganda, and he said, we need to ask the Lord, is our future here or is it somewhere else? And within a week, we had heard very clearly that we were to leave everything and to come over to the other side of the world, to Redding, California. About 6 or 8 weeks later, we loaded up our four kids and our 9 suitcases, and we came over here not knowing what we'd find, not knowing what it was going to be like. We had no income, we had no financial support. We just were following the voice of God. And it began this crazy journey of living to a new level of just responding to his voice. Part of that journey was having a house. So within about a year of us living here, no income, no money, only the money from selling our house in New Zealand, God began to speak to us as a family about giving us land in this land. That's the first prophetic word I remember distinctly, saying, God saying to us, you're going to have land in this land. And I'm like, great, that sounds great. Well, and in my humanness, I thought, well, here's what's going to happen. I've got this little nest egg. We've got this money that we have from the house selling in New Zealand. God's going to bring some sort of income stream. We've got enough for a deposit, and we will go out and buy a house. But the income stream didn't come, and the deposit that we had, we slowly but surely ate our way through. But God kept speaking to us about giving us a house. And in the natural sense, we're like, well, our resources are diminishing, and I have no idea how this is going to happen. But there was this kind of just God spoke, and so that settles it. And so we would go out sometimes with an estate agent, and we'd look at some houses, and we would talk about it as a family, and we'd dream, and the prophetic words about a house kept coming, and we kept sensing that this was going to happen, but we had no idea how. In 2014, so we've now been here 6 years, and probably for about 4 or 5 of those years, God's been speaking to us about a house. And I distinctly remember it being Mother's Day and going to drive past another house that we couldn't afford, one with a beautiful garden. And I remember my then 11-year-old sitting in the back seat of the car and asking us, hey, so God keeps speaking to us about a house, but when will that happen? When will we be able to buy a house? And I had to say to her, well, we now had an income, but it was only enough to keep us afloat. And by now we have no money for a deposit for a house. We've eaten our way through it. And I remember saying to my 11-year-old, sweetheart, we are not saving towards a house. We don't have enough income to save. I can't tell you when that's going to happen. And she looked crestfallen, and I said, but God's spoken, so that means it could happen next month. It's all about his voice, and he's faithful to his voice, so it could happen, but I can't tell you. Well, about a month later, Andy went on a ministry trip, and he is in a line of people who he's preaching at this conference, but there was a lineup and people were coming to prophesy, and he put himself in the line. And this guy who's got no idea who he is or what he's about comes up and starts speaking to him about God says he's giving, pack your bags, he's giving you a house. And so Andy dialogued with him, and yes, it's a natural house, and yes, and there was this urgency of it's happening now. So Andy calls me and he says, "And God has spoken again, and he said, pack your bags, I'm giving you a house." And I said, well, that sounds like it's happening soon. I'm going to respond. So the next day I went out to Home Depot and I bought 6 packing boxes, moving boxes. And I went home to the kids and I said, here's, each of us is going to have a box and we are going to respond to God's voice by packing a box, not a bag, but a box. And I said, don't put stuff in there that you might need next week, because inside I'm thinking, he's been speaking for about 4 years about a house, but this one feels different and we're going to respond. So we each pack a box, and Andy's box is standing there waiting for him to come home. Long story short, he comes home with enough money that gives us a deposit for a house. A week later, we find that house and we get to move in. It's great. It's a great house. It's a small house, but it's got a room for everybody. It's got a little backyard that's really cute and a garden. And we are just so grateful that not only to the people, but to God. And we're like, yay, God is faithful. And all through that journey, there was times, what's cool, one of the things that I think was so precious is that at some point when we'd been super discouraged about when is God going to give us this house, we'd prayed as a family. My son actually prayed individually, and God had told him the date we would find the house, and we first saw the house on that date. We had prayed once we'd seen the house, yes, we wanted to buy it, and now we have the deposit for it. And my son, again, we'd ask the kids to say, God, how much should we offer for this house? And he heard this amount, and we felt like that was the one we're supposed to go with. And so even for our kids, there was this very much this sense of, this house that we have is the house that he spoke of, and the preciousness of hearing his voice and seeing his provision, seeing him come through. Well, we'd been in that house for a couple of years. We're happy in that house. The kids are happy because we said when we buy a house, we'll get a little dog. So we now have the little dog, and everyone's happy. And God begins to speak to us again about an increase of finances and about a bigger house and about land. And we're happy. We're happy in our little house, but he keeps talking about increase. And meanwhile, there's a friend of ours that is about to do a big business deal, and he says, I want to sow into a house with the land. And so start looking. So we start looking in response to all these prophetic words, again, about an increase, about land, about I'm going to give you financial increase. All this is happening, and we're like, yeah, this sounds great. We love this little house, but a bigger house and a house with land is what's always been in our heart. But both Andy and I come from rural backgrounds where land, being in a place with trees and space, and specifically land, is a big deal. So we start looking, and there's some beautiful houses out there, and none of them we can afford. Not even, you know, we can't even scrape together. But there's this promise. And so we get to 2017 and we sit down, as we always do, with our kids at the start of the year. And what is God saying to us as a family? And every single one of us. And so what we have people do is we have our whole family sit down and write down, what is God saying to you individually? And what is God saying to us as a family? And then we always come back together and we say, okay, what is God saying to us as a family? And often what we'll do with that is we will then kind of combine that and say, what's one word that captures what God is saying? And the word that we captured that year was increase. And so I made this big banner. We put it where we could see it every day. And we talked about it. God's got increase for us. And we're still looking at houses. And we're excited about God specifically saying, because he had prophetic words that specifically said, this year there's increase for you. And so we're excited. We're looking with great anticipation, like, yeah, God spoke it. Yay, he's so faithful. And we look at these houses and we find ones that we like, that we'd like to put an offer on, but we have no money. And so one by one, these houses get sold. And we get to the end of 2017 and nothing has happened. Nothing. There's no financial increase. Meanwhile, we have been so excited about God's voice, about his faithfulness to us and about what he's about to do, that we have bought a bigger dog because we're going to get land. We named our dog Izzy after the scripture in Isaiah that says, get ready for increase. You know, stretch out your tent pegs because increase is coming. And so now we've got our small house and our small backyard and our small dog and a big dog named Izzy, who is tearing up the backyard because she's a big dog and it's a small backyard. And we reached the end of 2017, this year that was supposed to be full of promise because of his voice, and we enter into 2018 and I am mad at God. I'm like, it's under control, but only just, because I am like, God, I have followed your voice. I have always followed your voice and you have always been faithful. I don't know how to live, and now it feels like you have not been faithful to do what you said you're going to do, and I don't know what to do with that. Now, every other time I've reached that point in my life where it seems like God hasn't come through, where he seems like he hasn't been faithful, what I've known to do and what I have done is I have simply just trusted the big God in the sky who spoke, and I've just let go of what he said, and it's been okay. I've just said, okay, you're God, you're faithful, it's all right. And I don't understand, but maybe one day I'll understand. I must have got it wrong. At the start of 2018, as I'm in this place like, God, what is going on? We find our dream home. The other houses we've found have been wonderful, but this one is everything that we've always wanted. It's got sort of natural stone place parts built into the house that we've always loved. It's got a fireplace, it's got trees, it's got 3 acres. It's beautiful, it's peaceful. It feels to us like a slice of heaven, and we can't buy it because we have no money. It's just way beyond what we can afford. And still the voices speaking, move forward. Still God is saying, I'm going to provide. And inside there's this wrestle because I know he's good. Everything in my life says he's good. His word says he's good. And the voice is saying, move forward. But we can't move forward because there's this big wall in front of us, the lack of finances. And I'm talking like it's all about the house, but it's all about, for me, this wrestle was all about, can I trust his voice? Can I trust what he says? I've moved forward. I live my whole life listening for his voice and following it. And it hasn't always been easy, but he's always been faithful. And in this season, in this moment, it looks like he's not faithful. And I kind of come to this place. I can remember vividly sitting on the couch in my small house, dreaming of the big house and being like, God, I can lay this down again, but to do so, it feels like I'm laying down my relationship with you. It actually feels like if I just submit it all and say, it's okay, God, I forgive you for saying that stuff and not following through. I know there's a piece of my heart that is breaking trust and breaking relationship with him, and I don't want to do that. And I feel like I have permission from the Lord to hold him to his word, to wrestle that out and to just simply kind of be in that place of not submitting everything. And it sounds against everything we're taught, like he is our Lord and there is a laying down and there is a just that place of trusting. And if I would describe it like this, it's this big God in the sky who speaks and his word comes down, and I, as a small human being, as a being submitted to him, I just say yes. And I've lived my life, that big God in the sky, yes, God, I'll do whatever. Yes, I'll come to America. Yes, I'll live with no income. Yes, I'll step out and do this ministry where it feels like no one's with me. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll be faithful. Yes, I'll stay connected. Yes, all those yeses have been to a big God in the sky who I know I can trust. And now I'm in this place with this God who's no longer a big God in the sky, but he's a God of whispering with his breath on my face. And I love his breath on my face. And if I just lay down again over the house thing, I'm really giving up the breath on his face. Long story short, God provided 2018, coming into the summer, he provided a way for us to get into the house in a lease arrangement. We sold our other house, we took the money from there, and we put a non-refundable deposit down on this house based on God's word. And inside I'm like, God, thank you for providing for this year the money for us to lease this house for a year. But where is the increase that you spoke of? And I'm wrestling because I'm so grateful that he's done part of what he said. He's got us into this house. But there's this other part of me that is still like, God, where is the God of the voice? Where is the faithfulness that you spoke of? So we come, we're in the house, our lease is about to expire, and in my heart, the wrestle of, God, are we keeping the house, became, it's not about the house, but it's about, are you faithful to what you spoke? And as we come closer, there's no sign of us being able to buy the house, and leaving this house means we leave everything financially and we start from absolutely zero again, like we did when we came to America. It felt like here we go again. And I'm wrestling with, how am I going to respond if we have to move back into town, knowing that God had spoken about this house and about his faithfulness. And I'm worried that I'm going to lose the plot. And I don't want to lose the plot, and I don't want my kids to see me questioning the faithfulness of God. So I decide to meet with a friend, and I'm talking to him about this wrestle. And at the end, he's a coach, and he's very good at what he does. And he leads me to this place of, it really comes down to this, Janine. Will you lay down the house? Will you lay down what looks like God not being faithful to his word? Will you just trust and essentially give up on God needing to be faithful to what he said? And I didn't like what he said. I'm like, I don't think I want to give up on that. But maybe I'm supposed to just lay everything down again and just give up on God being faithful to his word. So I walk away from the meeting with this coach, and I wrestle through, and I come to this place like, it feels, God, like you've led me by your word out into this very scary place. I have trusted everything. I've known what it is to lay everything down, and now you've left me, it feels, in this desert place with no way out. I have no idea where to go. And my friend is telling me, my trusted friend is telling me, lay it all down and just be okay with that. And I come to this place of total surrender, where I make a decision that I'm going to trust his voice even where it leads me to the scary place. I don't understand, God, what that looks like. I don't understand, but I know this, that I cannot live in a place where I'm not led by your voice. And it's not the remote God from the sky voice. That's easy. But the voice that whispers, where I feel you're so close that I feel my breath, your breath on my face. And I need to know that voice. and I won't make a decision that gives up on that voice. And I don't know if this makes sense to you, but there was this moment of decision from the core of my being that I will always hear him and respond to him. And if that means it takes me to a place of living in a house that is a dream house, but then losing it and walking away and starting again financially, if it brings me to that place and my heart feels caught up, ripped out, then it's all worth it if I still get the voice with his breath on my face. That was just a couple of months ago. God provided miraculously for us to get another year in this house. The journey's still unfolding. He's still saying, I'm going to provide. We still haven't seen the increase that we're believing for. But I have, again, the sweetness of his breath on my face. And I think Andy, a week or so ago, he said to me, you know, in the last year or so you've been in this, he said, it feels like you've been in this dark place of questioning the Lord. And, you know, I'm glad that you're coming out of that. And he said, do you feel like, you know, you were, that season was a season where you were not connected to God in the way that you should have been? And I said, actually, I almost feel the opposite, even though it's been a hard year and a year of feeling in some ways disconnected from God. I think it brought me to this moment where it all came down to, will I decide once and for all that the voice of God, hearing the precious whisper, feeling his breath on my face, is more important than anything? And I would walk through a year again like that, because since I've made that decision, I hear his whisper and feel his breath more profoundly than I have in a long time, certainly, perhaps ever. My encouragement to you today is, it's worth it doing the crazy things in response to his voice. I'm not talking about not checking in with wise counselors. I'm not talking about doing stuff that's against the word of God, the Bible. I am talking about a lifestyle and paying a price to say, I will only do what I hear the voice, your voice, God, saying. And though that leads me to scary places, and though it leads me to places where on the surface I'm not sure that you're going to be faithful, I don't want to ever walk in a place where I'm not led by you. My prayer for you today is that you'll hear his voice, that it won't be a remote voice from the sky. It won't be something that is easy to respond to, but it will be the whisper in your ear and the deep knowing inside and the breath of God on your face that leads you to scary places, but knowing that he's always with you. That's my prayer for you today. Thanks for being a part of this conversation.